You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, people, I'm really glad to have you tonight. I'm really glad to be here helping Sam. Glad to be running the political cesspool tonight. As Sam said in the beginning of the first hour, James Edwards is out on a much-needed vacation with his lovely wife, Danny, and his two children. Sam's right now, what we're doing right now, we're going to get our next guest up. Sam's getting him up, and I'm really excited to be having him. He is a pastor. He's a pastor of a Baptist church, but he's not just any Baptist church. This is what they call an independent Baptist church. He has a church, the Mountain View Independent Baptist Church, located in Custer, South Dakota. And what we're going to do, we're going to get him to break down his book. He published a book. It's a really good book, too. I haven't been able to read all of it, read some of it. But he's been on multiple talk shows. He's been on Tex Mars' shows. You people might be familiar with Tex Mars. He wrote a book called Who is Israel? And what he's going to do, he's going to break it down. He's going to tell us, I guess it's kind of like what James likes to use the term, rhetorically speaking. I know who Israel is. I know who the real Israelites are. But for some of the people in our audience that don't know, he's going to tell us, what does it mean to be an Israelite? Who is Israel? He's going to talk about eschatology. And he might briefly touch upon the so-called tribulation, the pre-trib, post-trib rapture, and all that garbage. He might touch upon some of that. He's going to talk about eschatology. And another thing he's going to talk about is dispensationalism. And, I really have no use for that dispensationalism at all. Another thing he's going to do is talk about, when he comes on, I hope he has time, he can talk about the old Scofield Bible. You know, people, you might know, I left a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, it tore my heart out because, you know, I don't like to use the word saved, but as a Baptist would say, I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. I prefer to say I had my salvation there. It happened 2 months before my 62nd birthday, February the 8th of 2009. And I tell you what, it was a miraculous on-the-spot conversion. And the pastor there, I won't use his name now because I have in the past, and I think it's caused a rift between me and my pastor. But I can't go to that church anymore. I can no longer go to a Southern Baptist church because they are part of this Scofieldism stuff. They like to talk about their old Scofield Bible, you know, and I point out to them, your old Scofield Bible is barely over 100 years. This guy Scofield, you know, he was a reprobate. He was an alcoholic. He left his wife. He was a womanizer, but he totally perverted the Word of God. In the Scofield Bible. Well, Pastor Matt, are you with us?
Yes.
I think I just gave up about a fourth of your show. I don't know. But listen, I was just telling people, we have this. This is the pastor I was telling you about. His name is Matt First. Like I said earlier, he is with the Mountain View Baptist Church in Custer, South Dakota. Now, and like I told them, Pastor, it's not just an ordinary run-of-the-mill Baptist church, Southern Baptist church. This is an independent Baptist church. And I was telling the audience, Pastor, before you came out, I left a Southern Baptist church, and Pastor Matt will understand why. Well, listen, I'm going to shut up. Pastor Matt First has been on several talk shows. I know. I told him that you were going to talk about your book, Who Is Israel? I outlined a few things that you're probably going to cover tonight. He was on Tex. If you want to go to Tex on Tex Mars show, also. Before I forget, we're going to plug your right off the bat. Don't let me forget to plug your book later on in your website for the commercial. Pastor Matt, like we talked about earlier, I didn't get you on the first hour. I wanted you to come on the first hour and open the program with a prayer, but it's never too late to open with a prayer. Pastor Matt, if you will, would you please say a prayer and include blessing the political cesspool, the staff, and our listeners in our nation? And take, and I don't have to tell you how to say a prayer, but Pastor Matt, if you would you open the second hour with a prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the fact that we can be born again through belief and trust, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would just guide the words that we say here on this show. We ask that you would pray, we would pray for the staff here of this radio station, for Eddie, myself, and for so many listeners out there, that they would learn, and most importantly, that they would be pointed towards you and your kingdom. We do pray for our country, our nation, our world. We ask that you would help us to not to forget the Great Commission, to win the lost, and to be ever positive and optimistic and mindful of the fact that no matter what happens in this world, you're still coming, and your kingdom will come, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's a big amen to there. You know, Pastor Matt, Sam and I were just talking the first hour. We don't just try to maintain the moral high ground. It just, the moral high ground, and I'm not bragging, I'm not, you know, crowing and being a big Christian at all, but I think being having the moral high ground, like me and Sam said, it's just kind of like our genetics. It's just who we are. We try to live it, unlike the left. Well, I told them, audience, Pastor Matt, that you published this book. It's a dynamite book. I mean, Tex Mars just raved about it. It's called Who is Israel? With that,
yes.
Pastor,
yes,
and exactly. Go ahead. Who is Israel, Pastor Matt? Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, there's a real misunderstanding of who is Israel. The back of the book basically says this: the answer to this question will determine one's understanding of end time events. In fact, the correct answer to this question could solve the current Middle East crisis. Truth be told, the biblical answer to this question will one day determine everything. And I decided to use this title for the book because I think it is the ultimate question. In my conversation with another pastor who produced a video about the tribulation, I told him, I said, until we understand, until we settle the issue of Israel, we'll never settle the debate of pre-trib, post-trib, and all that. Because who is Israel is the elephant in the room. And the confusion starts there. The Bible tells us in more than one place who is a Jew and who is a child of Abraham. And the Bible tells us they that are in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham.
Galatians.
And that the promise was to Abraham and his seed, singular. Galatians chapter 3, Paul points out that it was to the seed, singular, Christ himself. And so they that are in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham.
Pastor, I hear the music.
Talking to a lady in our church years ago about this subject.
Hey, Pastor. I hear that we're going to a commercial now, Pastor. We're going to bring you right back. We have to go to a money-making commercial. We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Hey, Pastor Matt.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd like to apologize for we had a little technical difficulty there. I'm sure that our listening audience could tell. I was trying to slow you up with the commercial. Me and Sam both were having a hard time connecting back with you. But I'd like to ask you to please indulge that. I think Sam's got it fixed up right now. And I'd like to also, before you go further, to thank you for saying that prayer. Sam, James Edwards, and myself, we've often said that if we can use our show, the Political Cesspool, as an instrument to be used by God, if he can use us, then, you know, that's what we want to do, even if we didn't prosper. But I think, you know, as long as we can get God on our side, we're going to prosper. But without God, if nothing a man can do, if he doesn't have God in his corner, he's going to fail. But all that being said, I'm going to thank you again and let you go right back where you was. And I'm sorry for the interruption, for the technical difficulty, and for having to cut you off for the commercials.
Sure, no problem. I'm not sure exactly where I got cut off, but I'll go ahead and just keep going.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Dispensationalism really got started or took off with the Schofield Reference Bible about 100 years ago. And C.I. Schofield was quite a suspicious character himself. I'm not even sure he was truly a Christian. I do know for a fact he was quite a shyster and a lawyer, which he was a crooked lawyer, and he was in and out of jail. His wife divorced him, and he was filling in as the pastorate in a church in Texas when his wife divorced him all the way from Kansas. When he died, the newspapers in Kansas basically said the shyster, the rat, is dead, and he was then called to be the permanent pastor of that church. He remarried a woman in the church, and the church never batted an eye. It didn't seem to bother them at all. That church is called the Schofield Memorial Church. I can't remember what town it's in. Schofield himself was never a Baptist. But today, so many Baptists embrace him as if he was never a Baptist. And so many Baptists embrace him as if he was some sort of icon or hero in their religion or in their faith. And I don't understand all that. It's before my time, but it's amazing to see how it has happened. I think Satan is behind it. I think we have to remember in talking about conspiracies that Satan is the ultimate conspirator. And I do believe that he will have his way for a while. And Revelation indicates that to us, that Satan will have some freedom to manipulate and control this globe. However, the believers in Christ are the winners in the end, and we need to remember that. Read all the way to the last page.
Well, Pastor, let me ask you a quick question. To interrupt you. Hold that thought. Now, was this guy Darby out of Scotland, a renegade?
Kind of
a renegade. What was he, Presbyterian? Did he get kicked out of the Presbyterian church? Or did Schofield get some of his, I'd call this renegade, I can call it satanic theology from Darby?
Right. Darby was part of the Plymouth Brethren, and he and the Plymouth Brethren even parted ways. A very well-known Christian, George Mueller, famous as an orphanage and director of an orphanage in England, he and Darby had serious parting of the ways, and Darby just chastised everybody, and he was just a dictator. But Darby's the one that pretty much came up with the pre-tribulation theology and the dispensationalism that spread into America through James Brooks, who then passed it on to Schofield. But it really took off when Schofield had Oxford University Press print his Schofield Reference Bible with lots of notes, of which I doubt Schofield was really the originator of a lot of those notes. And I suspect that even Zionists had something to do with that. I don't know how an unnamed guy like Schofield, who really didn't have any money, could have all of a sudden become part of this Lotus Club in New York City, of which Samuel Untermeyer and other influential people were members at the time. But all of a sudden, Schofield Reference Bible comes rolling off the press. Schofield gets very wealthy. And oh, by the way, he never does support his wife or his children from his first marriage, even after he was wealthy with this Bible. But it took off. And I think what really cemented the Schofield Reference Bible as prophetic, quote-unquote, in the eyes of evangelical Christians and local churches was the fact that a few decades after the Schofield Reference Bible came out, 1948 happened. And the second coming of Israel took place, the rebirth of the nation. And so I think that Satan used the notes of the Schofield Reference Bible along with current events to convince the general Christian population that, hey, this book is right, we're on target. And so all common sense and scripture went out the window. And what we find today is people are actually believing the Schofield notes rather than the Bible itself. You know, the Bible says, don't to add to it the word or take away from the word. And yet, the Schofield Reference Bible literally is two Bibles in one. You've got this text on top, then you've got the explanation or the repositioning of the text at the bottom with the notes. And in 1967, they even did an edition, and they call it the New Schofield Reference Bible. And, of course, Schofield was long dead, but other dispensationalists took it up and even changed it to be more slanted in a Zionist direction. In fact, the New Schofield Reference Bible just comes out and says that anti-Semitism is a sin.
Pastor, I'm glad you mentioned that. If you don't mind me chiming in, it sounds to me like this: the Schofield Bible, the birth of Israel in 1967-68, might have been what they call a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you mentioned something. During the communist takeover in the Soviet Union and Russia in 1917-1918. These same Jews were working there in Russia then. There was a struggle, if you know this or not, there was a struggle for the soul, according to Churchill. Winston Churchill wrote a paper in 1920 that said there was a struggle for the soul of the Jewish people between Zionism, communism, and Judaism. And,
yes.
Of course, Churchill was certainly no saint. I don't have much use for Churchill, but he did say some correct things. He said he hoped that they would go to Judaism. I always would have wanted them to go to Christianity. But we had at the same time we had this Benjamin Disraeli guy who was the Prime Minister of England, and he was working along behind the scenes, even working with the Nazis later on, fast forwarding in time, to get this this outlaw state of Israel situated over there in Palestinian territory. But I hope I didn't interrupt too much. But you were punching some hot buttons there because you were right on the money. I think it was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They knew all along that they were working behind the scenes, going all the way back to the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century, 1900, that they were going to try to set this Israel up. But I'll shut up now, Pastor, let you continue on.
Sure. And again, I want to always point back to Satan himself. I think Satan works behind the scenes with people who are blinded. Ted Pike pointed out that why should we be surprised that we find this group of people, the natural Jewish people, the physical descendants, quote unquote, or the people who call themselves Jews, behind a lot of treachery or debauchery or filth, as in Hollywood and politics and government positions, things like that. Why should we be surprised that there is a connection to communism and socialism and all the things that seem to be tearing our world apart when these people reject
Pastor,
the Lord Jesus Christ?
Pastor, I hear the music coming again. It seems like we have only been going 90 seconds between this commercial. It sounds like we've got another commercial coming up, Pastor. I'll be right back after the commercial. Hold that.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch has written about the contradictions in existing federal policies regarding marijuana, but his own views regarding government prohibition of marijuana remain ambiguous. In a recent case in the Tenth Circuit, Gorsuch joined the majority in ruling against a Colorado dispensary that tried to avoid reporting its financial data to the IRS out of fear that, in doing so, it would be vulnerable to federal efforts to enforce existing federal anti-marijuana statutes. This case owes its genesis to the mixed messages the federal government is sending these days about the distribution of marijuana, he wrote in his opinion. While the Obama-era Justice Department twice instructed field prosecutors that they should generally decline to enforce federal marijuana statutes, Gorsuch wrote, officials at the IRS refused to recognize business expense deductions by marijuana dispensaries in states where such enterprises are legal on the ground that their conduct violates federal criminal drug laws. So it is that today prosecutors almost always overlook federal marijuana distribution crimes in Colorado, but the tax man never will, he observed. While he may regard anti-marijuana statutes to be dubious at best, Gorsuch ruled in a 2013 case that a police officer who fatally tased a man seeking to evade a marijuana enforcement arrest acted reasonably because he had been trained that people who grow marijuana illegally tend to be armed and ready to use force to protect themselves and their unlawful investments. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, good evening out there, everybody. I hope you're having a great Saturday, and I hope a lot of you people are sitting around here listening to the Political Cesspool Live. We have a great guest on tonight. We have a pastor out of South Dakota, out of Custer, South Dakota. He's with a Mountain View Baptist Church out there. Like we said earlier, it's not any old Baptist church. It's an independent Baptist church, totally unlike the Southern Baptist Church here that have been infiltrated in the South, where I know, like, in one of the churches I used to go to. And listen, I would like to, before we go any further, the pastor is talking about a book. For any of you people that might have tuned in late, we got the pastor on from South Dakota, and he wrote a book entitled Who is Israel? It's a fantastic book. It's a very educational book. Tex Mars himself said it's the best book on Israel that he's ever heard. And before we go any further, I'd like to ask the pastor to tell us, how can we get that book? How can we go to his website? The pastor also has a commercial on this book. Maybe I can get James or Sam to put it up on the website later. But if you have a pen there, I still use a pen and paper. I'm an old-fashioned guy. If you go to www.whoisisrael, you can pull up a commercial that'll tell you a little bit about this great book that Pastor Matt First has published.
Yes,
Pastor, if you will, Pastor, could you add anything to that to plug your book? Because this book needs to get out there, and I appreciate you coming on. I hope you can sell a million of these books.
Sure.
So how can these people get the book? Plug this book and plug your website, Pastor.
Whoisisrael.org. Whoisisrael.org. If you just type in a search engine, Who is Israel, there's not too many books called that. You write whoisisrael.org. Or Amazon.com. If you want to buy it from Amazon, just go to Amazon. It's also on Kindle. You can get the ebook version of this book. There are over 400 footnotes in this book, references. A lot of them have an internet link, and the ebook ties you right into the internet immediately, and so you can tap on the link and see where I got the information from, if that's available. But anyhow, there's an ebook version. Or there's the hardback version, or I should say paperback version, and you're able to get it at either whoisisrael.org, amazon.com, and I believe Tex Mars also sells it. I sent a copy to him last year, and he said he read it in one sitting and then called me right away and wanted to talk about it. I just want to get back to what we were saying earlier. But you mentioned
Pastor, let me ask you one more thing. Before you go, I don't want to interrupt you, but before we get too far off topic, I want to ask you to explain, who is Israel? Who is an Israelite? You know, who is the son of Abraham, et cetera? Keep those ideas in the back of your head. I don't want to forget that. I want you to explain who is Israel, who is an Israelite, and who is the son of Abraham, before we get through with our conversation, before we run out of time.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let me just go ahead. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." Romans chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "They are not all Israel, which are of Israel." That's a really strange way of saying it. But in other words, not all the physical are the spiritual. And then we get to John chapter 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, a Jew himself, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, "You must be born again." And so even your physical birth doesn't do you any good unless you're born again. So it's a moot point. It doesn't matter what lineage you can prove. And I do believe heritage is important, but certainly not spiritually or eternally important, because what most matters is being born again, being saved and adopted into the family of God. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that they that are in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham. And
Amen.
there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's according to the promise. And so Isaac
that's
and Ishmael,
as plain as you can say it. You know, I don't want to cut you off, but you got me really excited. I mean, you can't say it any plainer than that. You know, your lineage, you know, your stinking lineage matters zero to the Lord Jesus, to God. You know, like
That's
you
right.
said, you know, what circumcision, what use is circumcision if you don't have this circumcision in the heart? You're absolutely right. Galatians 3, I've tried to explain it to so many Southern Baptists until I was hoarse. That's one of the reasons I left. They just cannot. For the life of me, I don't understand. They cannot get over this. You know, we almost have to worship the Israel. We almost have to worship the Jew. You know, like Christ sits to the right hand of the Jew, not the other way around with them. But that is just, Pastor, I think that is as plain as you could not say it any plainer than that.
Right.
I'm
John
sorry.
The Baptist,
kind of
John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "You know, God is able to raise up children from rocks. Don't you know? You're not special because you have a physical pedigree." You know, they had become so proud of what they thought made them the chosen ones and the children of God. And Jesus shattered that, and that's what angered them the most. And that's why they were so angry. And they saw the political danger that Jesus was to these Jewish rulers, and they demanded him to be crucified. But it was all, of course, in God's ultimate plan. And many Jews did get saved. The Apostle Paul talks about how that he used to persecute people in the Jews' religion. But Paul was the one who wrote Galatians and some of our great books of the New Testament that we see this grace of God and adoption through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have brothers and sisters in Christ that are closer to me than my physical family. And that's because we're going to be together forever, and we think the same, and we are adopted in the family of God. But you know what? These unregenerate, unsaved Jews continue to exist. And the Bible says in 1 John that if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. And they are the spirit of Antichrist. And
exactly. He said, who is a liar? He said, John
who is
said,
a liar?
Who is a liar?
That's right.
And John chapter 8, Jesus Christ.
That's right. John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to these amped up Jews that were upset with him, and the subject of lineage came up, and they said, we're not born of fornication, indicating that they believed that he was. They did not believe he's virgin born. They still do not believe he's virgin born. They do not celebrate Christmas over there. But in Bethlehem they do, but Bethlehem is part of Palestine. And so Judaism has never recognized Christ. They are anti-Christ. And that is biblical. I'm not saying that out of hatred or out of racist prejudice towards them. They biblically fit the description of anti-Christ. And it's amazing how many Baptists would throw me over a cliff just for saying that.
I've experienced that.
And you mentioned Winston Churchill. He also said this back in 1920. It may well be that this same astounding race may at the present time be in the actual process of producing another system of morals and philosophy as malevolent as Christianity was benevolent. It would seem as if the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Antichrist were destined to originate among the same people. And that's one of the major points in my book. If we wrongly divide the idea of who is Israel, we are going to worship the anti-Christians rather than welcoming the Christians. This nation of ours used to be a godly, Christ-honoring nation, but now we are a Jew-honoring nation.
Amen, brother.
It used to be that if we cursed the name of Jesus Christ, it was extremely unacceptable in this land. But today, it is no problem to curse Jesus, but you better not curse the Jew.
Amen, amen. Pastor, I'm a big follower of Tex Mars. I'm not saying I disagree with Tex Mars, but I'm put it this way. I'm stronger on one point, I think, than Tex is. I was listening to Tex one day speaking. He said it was not a salvational issue, so to speak. Jewish dispensationalism and Jewish chosen people. I think it is. I certainly think that if you're one of these Judaizers, pro-Israel, pro-Jew, Jewish first, Israel first, you know, I think, and Lord knows the Baptists, they love to slam the Catholics. They love to slam these other religions. You know what I told them in my church? I said, yeah, the Catholics got their holy water and they got their Virgin Mary, and we got our Jews. You know, we worship our Jews. We're going to a break, Pastor Matt. We're going to come. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, good evening, people out there, all of our friends and all of our relatives, all of our family. I consider, you know, me, James, Sam, Keith, we all, the Scoop, we all consider our listeners here in the Political Cesspool, most of all, y'all are family. You've made that clearly manifest for years. you know, with your donations, with your letters. We get countless e-letters. We get countless of snail mail. I love the snail mail personally. I love getting those letters and cards and reading them. Some of them have me crying, you know, for the sacrifices y'all make. We have some people that are worse off than me even, and sending in $1, $5 at a time sometimes. But it's your prayers that we love, and it's your constant encouragement and your cheerleading. Because Lord knows, I tell you what, we catch hell on this radio station from the Democrats, from the Republicans. We even catch hell from the Baptists, you know. But listen, we're here, as you know, just in case anybody tuned in late. We have Pastor Matt First here. He's the pastor of the Mountain View Independent Baptist Church. It's located in Custer, South Dakota. He's a great guy, and he's, in my opinion, he's telling us straight up about Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, who is an Israelite, who is a Christian, who is not a Christian, who is a son of Abraham. I hope you didn't, hope y'all didn't turn in late, because if you did, you missed a lot. Pastor, with that, I'm going to get back before we go, get back going. If people, this is a great book the pastor's talking about. He publishes, the name of the book is Who is Israel? Tex Mars himself said, in case you tuned in late, Tex Mars himself said this is the best book on Israel he's ever read. He says the most definitive text, like the pastor mentioned. I heard Tex say it himself. He got the book. He read it in one night. It would take me a week to read any book. I'm slow. But if you want to get a commercial for this book, you can go to www.whoisisrael.com. You can get this book on Amazon. Well, Pastor, I'm going to go back over to you. You tell the book one more. You plug it one more time. You plug it better than I do, fella.
Sure. Whoisisrael.org, www.whoisisrael.org. I'm going to get right back to what I was saying before the break, and that is we were taught through dispensationalism, and you learn it in your Bible colleges, that the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon in the book of Revelation. And so 2 years ago, I was over in Israel on a tour with some other pastors, and we went and visited the different sites, and we went to these quote-unquote holy sites of the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church there. And we saw people, sincere, quote-unquote Christian people, kissing the rock where they thought Jesus was laid after his crucifixion, or where the cross stood in the hole in the ground. And they had notes of prayer and veneration written and cast in different places. And some of these other pastors stood back and kind of shook their head and tisk, 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 what shame, what mockery, what silliness these Catholics are. The next day we went to the Wailing Wall. And we went to the Wailing Wall, and these same pastors put on this little round kippah hat on the back of their head, walked up to the Wailing Wall, and began to kiss the wall, touch the wall, pray to the wall, put little notes in the wall, and they did not mock all the Jews who were kissing and hugging and gyrating at the Wailing Wall. And I point that out in my book because we are hypocrites. We are such hypocrites. I don't understand the difference between the stones in that wall and the stones across the town at the other side of Jerusalem. But for somehow, these guys think that when one party does it, it's terrible. When the other party does it, it's so sweet and sincere. The fact is that in my mind, probably most of the people over there that are praying at any kind of rock or anything like that are unsaved and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. One Baptist pastor that operates a school called Bethlehem Bible College in Palestine, in the Palestinian territory, outside the wall of Jerusalem, he said, "It's amazing how many tourists, how many Christian tourists from America come and venerate and take pictures and visit the stones, the old stones of Israel, but none of them ever come to visit the living stones, the true Christians, the born-again people."
Excellent
and
point.
We're completely flip-flopped in our thinking. And because we're worshiping the physical instead of the spiritual, we're now being amped up to make Jerusalem the capital. Even the current president has said that he's interested in that. We're amped up in seeing a third temple rebuilt, as if that's going to change anything.
And all of a sudden, you know, this idea of the third temple and maybe animal sacrifices getting started up again. Well, you know what the book of Hebrews says? The book of Hebrews says it's neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, once for all paid for the sin of the world. And we're just so unbiblical and so goofy in our theology today because of dispensationalism and because of what we can see and handle physically versus what spiritually is truly out there. And so the Bible indicates that the people of God are spiritual, born again, and the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And one day we will leave this world, and the flesh and blood will drop, and we will rise spiritually to meet the Savior, and we'll be given new glorified bodies. And everyone clamors, and there's so much fighting over the real estate called Israel, the quote-unquote holy the quote-unquote holy land. And yet the Bible says that we are to be looking for the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem that is to come. And so what a waste of time, Satan, through these misguided leaders and charlatans that are out there selling books like John Hagee.
John Hagee, I see red when I hear his name. I mean,
I know. I'm sorry. I mentioned that name. But anyhow, it's Christians are sincere, but many of them in America are sincerely wrong on this subject. And I know my book is straight up controversy. I have pastors who think I'm nuts. Pastor friends, I've been kicked out of a pastor's fellowship already because of this. And yet I know it's right. I might not be completely right. No human being is, but my book is more right than wrong. And I know that I'm on the right track.
The Bible is right. And it's, Pastor, as long as you note, tie your book to the Bible, as long as you can use Scripture and quote it to your book, you are good to go, son. I mean,
my book is based on the Scripture, and I do my very best not ever detract or take away anything from the Word of God. It is the final authority, and I state that in my book. The Bible is accurate. I'm just trying to explain how we've gotten away from the Bible.
You know, Pastor, you said something in a conversation the other day. I was listening to you speak, and you said that I think in Divinity Bible School that people come up and say, well, you pre-trib, or you post-trib, or you this trib, that trib. And you said, well, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm Bible.
Right.
I believe in the Bible. I don't have to read all that other garbage.
20 years ago, a college professor asked me, so what are you? Are you covenant theology? Are you dispensational? I said, good night. I have no idea. All I know is I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. And after studying both sides of the issue, you know what? I still believe the Word of God. That's what I am. I'm a biblicist. I'm independent. I just stand on what the Word of God says. And you can label me whatever label you want, but I'm just a Bible-believing Christian.
Well, Pastor, let me ask you this question. And it's my opinion, and I said earlier, and I'll stick by it. I believe the people, like these people over there, worshiping these whitened sepulchers, which white graveyards, dead. Why are they dwelling? You know, leave the dead with the dead. I think these people that worship Israel and worship the Jews, the John Hagiites, the people in a lot of the Southern Baptist churches, man, you know, I do believe it. I think it's a salvation issue because you're elevating something above Jesus Christ. It's, you know, Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong. It's not Jesus Christ plus we have to, you know, defend Israel at the last with the last drop of our blood.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I question the salvation of some of these guys, especially the ones that are making big bucks selling these tours to Israel to sincere people who think that they're going to get some special blessing if they support Israel physically or if they go there and see the land or touch the stones. I believe also that some people are misled and they think that because they've donated or they've politically supported one ethnic group of people in the Middle East versus another, that that's going to make them somehow more blessed of God. And I do believe there are a lot of false salvations based on a false understanding. And who is Israel? The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is the original Israel. He is the true Israel of God. And they that are in him, that are in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham. Isaiah chapter 49, and I explain it in my book, Isaiah chapter 49 indicates that Jesus himself is referred to as Israel. And I know that's kind of fascinating and probably deep, but just check it out if you want to get the book and check it out. But that's where we've gotten off track, is that we've replaced Jesus with something else. People accuse me of replacement theology, but the truth is they're replacing Jesus with the worship of something else, and it's called the state of Israel, the Jew.
We're getting close to running out of time. I want to ask you to kind of talk about, just briefly, because that's all with the time we have, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and that you said, Mary, you talked about that Jesus was the slain lamb. It sounds like we just run out of time, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Hear the music. We're going to have to let you go. God bless you, Pastor. I would like to get you back on. We couldn't cover all of it, but thank you for coming on tonight. You've done a wonderful job, and I'll be getting – you have my personal phone number. I'll be getting back in touch with you soon, Pastor. You have a good night. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.